Time for our GeoQuiz today, and for that quiz, consider the Nile, please. The Great River flows 4,000 miles through 10 African countries, through fertile valleys and across the Sahara Desert. Its tributaries include the White Nile that cuts through Uganda, Sudan, and Egypt, and the Blue Nile that begins in Ethiopia. Major cities along this great waterway include Khartoum, Aswan, Alexandria, and Cairo. Here's the question for you today, though. Which way does the Nile River flow, north or south? Make sure your map's not upside down now. We're back with the answer in just over a minute, and we're going to pay a visit to the west bank of the Nile near Giza, where a different kind of unemployed worker in post-revolution Egypt is protesting. This is PRI. I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Which way does the Nile River flow? The world's longest river starts in the highlands of Central Africa and flows downhill all the way to the Mediterranean, so the Nile River actually flows north. And it's in the north, near the Giza Plateau on the west bank of the Nile, that tourism should be booming. But in the 10 months since Egypt's revolution, it has slowed to a trickle. Jake Warga reports.
Tourism was one of the largest industries in Egypt, employing 15 million people directly and indirectly, which generated around $14 billion in revenue. But that was last year. After the revolution, numbers of visitors are way down.
There is nothing more magnificent than the Great Pyramid of Giza Plateau, the only surviving wonder of the ancient world.
This is my guide and trained Egyptologist, Ahmed. We're at the postcard-famous Giza Pyramids.
Listen to this. It's made up of 2.5 million pieces of limestone.
As I listen, I notice more touts than tourists. Those are the people trying to sell you the modern spoils of travel. Souvenirs, plastic pyramids, photos next to their camels, papyrus. But it's not just people that have been affected. The animals, too, have lost jobs. And patience. Apparently, one touristy thing to do while at Giza is to ride a camel. But there's no one riding them. They're just lazing around doing what camels do best, radiating boredom.
Oscar, Lawrence, Alibaba, Snoopy.
This is Mohammed, a young camel guide introducing his diminished fleet.
All the people sell the camel. You know why? Because the revolution and the camels eat so much.
I feel sort of bad for Mohammed and his camel, so I pick one to ride towards the pyramids. I kind of liked his name.
Obama.
Another popular destination hit hard by the decrease in tourist numbers is Luxor to the south in Upper Egypt. The Egyptian revolution started on the 25th of January, but in Luxor, every day sounds like an attempted donkey revolution.
We've named him Derek. He's a donkey who came in with a big mass on his eye.
Katie Preston is a volunteer vet at the English-run charity Animal Care Egypt. Other than his eye, Derek and other working donkeys in the area are looking pretty healthy because they still have jobs in the fields. It's the horses that are suffering because their main job is time-traveling tourists around town in carriages called caleches. This is another vet, Becky, commenting on the lack of tourists.
If it's bad for the owners, it's bad for the animals, because if the owners don't have any money, then they're going to feed their children, their family, before they feed the horses, you know.
Most people I talked with said the revolution was a great thing for the people, and that the decrease in tourist money is worth it. My guide, Ahmed, said it best one day while we were visiting a nearby empty temple.
Of course, I don't complain. If this is the price that we pay in order to get Egypt to stand on its feet as a democratic country and to give people their freedom and to be treated like citizens, it's nothing.
The animals that work in the tourism industry may not agree and hope that foreigners will come back in numbers soon, preferably carrying lots of delicious duty-free hay and feed. For The World, I'm Jake Warga.